Harpen Thurneyson is dearest friend who remained a pastor all his life and a grand preacher. That's where they found the renewal of the living Christ. And the theme of this Bad Bowl retreat center was Warten und Eilen. Wait and hasten. Wait and hasten. We wait on him who is the promise. Wait on God as those who are called to wait, and then we hasten to do his will as those who are told, where I am, so my servants also be. But first of all is the waiting. And Advent means waiting on his coming. That's first of all. And we wait on his coming. We wait on him whose coming means justice and peace for all. And for that justice and peace, we suffer. I looked at this beautiful card tonight, and I thought, what a strange community this is. How some of you wept through the night as you heard of Spiro Agnew, because you love your land and you want a land to be righteous and just. And you know that a land that doesn't give righteousness and justice to all is under the wrath of God and doom. And we live for that, and our sorrows we're suffering for it. We wait on it. That waiting isn't simply passive. We don't just mumble with vain repetitions, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we cry it out to God with our whole being. It's our life. It's what we breathe. It's our hunger that shall be satisfied, and our thirst that shall be quenched. For a world in which no one needs even to say longer, know the Lord, for all shall know him. And the knowledge of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's our vision. It keeps us in the waiting. And as we're in the waiting, we also hate him. We do that which is for us to do. We live the kind of lifestyle that Jesus gives us when we take our life from God's hand. Not saying simply because I'm an American I can waste all that I wish of the earth's resources, but we know we are a steward for all. I read today that a family with one child in America uses up more of the earth's resources and energy than a family with seven children in South America or Africa or Asia or even parts of Europe. Because this is how we sort of take for granted that we can waste it because we've got it. But we don't do that when we belong to the Lord, and we know the earth is the Lord's. It belongs to all of us together. And we share in its goodness, and we discover the kind of a life that doesn't require chasing from one place to another and using up the earth's resources without thoughtfulness, because we entertain each other, just as we do here. We share with one another, just as we do here. One vehicle can do the work of many when we live in this kind of a community. And one fireside satisfies for a whole community tonight. So we don't have to burn 10 trees, but only a part of one. Because we're sharing the warmth of each other and warming one another with our presence and giving delight and joy. And this is part of the Advent. The songs of Advent that come to us are this kind of a song. They're not just mournful dirges by any means, but they're glad affirmations of joy now. Christina Rossetti has a little poem about the Advent nights are cold and clear. Is that it, Mary? The Advent nights are long. But when you think about it, the time for joy, for family joy, for friends to talk together. This whole Christmas season is one grand celebration of family and friends here on the earth. Because Jesus says, if anyone follow me and forsake his father and mother, he shall have 100 of them. And when we don't put first our own desire, our own comfort, our own coziness, we discover that God gives us a huge family of friends who are brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, hundredfold. And this is what's so great about it. We all share in the grandchildren that are here. Some of you are pretty young to be grandfathers, but you can be uncles. But it's just great how we have this sense of community as we wait on the Lord. And all who wait on the Lord share this community throughout the whole earth. Remember one of the fine books I read way, way back, a long time ago, first year that I studied in Chinese to be a missionary in China, was written by a man who was a professor on it at not Beirut College, but the one in Turkey, at Constantinople. It was also by the same group here, the same one that Bainton belongs to, the Boltzmann Robert College. And he wrote this this book, he says, for all those who with joy await his appearing, with joy await his appearing, and his appearing now, in justice and in righteousness for all, and his appearing finally when war not only shall be no more, but not even death. So that's the last enemy to be overcome, and that's how we started it there as we begin. And this fellowship we have tonight is in life. We're going to eat the bread of life. And he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall live forever. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall never die. We're in this fellowship of eternal life. And we rejoice against all the surrounding darkness, knowing that he has appeared, who has abolished death, and brought life and immortality to light by his appearing. And that's why we have light all around us, to remind ourselves that death no longer has its power, its sting. That the firstborn is risen from the dead to bring forth many other brothers and sisters from the dead. And we're celebrating Jesus, then, in this sacrament of life, of eternal life. And so every Advent is a reminder of how Advent first came to us. It was in the December cold and dreary rains of Northumbria. I don't suppose there's any town more dismal on earth, as far as I'm concerned, than Newcastle on the Tyne, except in that part of England where it's murky and dirty now and there's always a pall of smog. It's the coal, rather. They're bringing coal to Newcastle as a statement of futility because they have so much already. And over this whole dreary part of the land then, they didn't have big industry and they didn't make naval vessels there then. But the King of Northumbria was entertaining the first missionary, and they sat around a fireplace like this, and they didn't have windows then. They had chinks in the wall to let the smoke out, to let a little fresh air in, and they huddled around the fire to keep warm. And the missionary who was talking to them told about the story of Jesus and what he had come for, and what his first coming was all about, that first coming that ends with a comma in the prophecy. The one who came not to destroy men with his breath of his power, but to save them by his tenderness and his love, meek and lowly and riding on an ass. So all the earth might cry Hosanna, because people knew they were forgiven and were not simply destined for a grave, but as God's children they were called to an eternal life. And as the missionary told about this wonderful thing that Jesus had done, when he was through speaking, the king turned to his chief priest. He was a Druid priest. And I have preached one Easter preaching mission at Drew in France myself, where all these priests used to gather at their great festival from all over Europe. There's the English, and there's the Picts and the Celts, and the Gaels, and even the Vikings, and the people up in the north of Europe, they all worshiped these sacred trees, and they would knock on wood lest something bad would happen to them. And they try to, we say, propitiate the anger of the gods. They believed that God was against them, and they had to do things to make sure that God would be on their side. So when the missionaries were telling about this wonderful God that was for us, and gave his son for us, and if he didn't spare his son, how much more will he give us every good thing? So we can wait on him and hasten to do his will with gladness. And he turned to his chief priest and he said, what do you make of this story? And the chief priest said, King, did you see that Pharaoh that came through that chink in the wall while he was talking and came down here by the fire and warmed himself by the fire, and then he flew out into the bitter wintry cold again in the night? And the king said, yes. Well, he says, that's all our life is. It's a brief warming by the fire. And then life is over and we're back into that dismal cold and darkness of death again. Because that's all it is, unless this story is true. And that's why we celebrate Advent with such joy, because it is true. And Jesus has come to make our life a waiting on God and a hastening to do his will with gladness. Amen. And I'll let Arnie take over with the songs and the service, and we'll just go right through.